Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Today, Pastor J.D. contrasts the previous trip in 2010 by Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with his most recent trip. The way Benjamin Netanyahu was treated by President Barack Obama versus how he was treated by President Donald Trump reveals some plain differences between the two administrations. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor JD with today's prophecy update as shared on February 19th, 2017.
What a week. I don't know if you saw that press conference that President Trump had, but that was kind of refreshing and encouraging. It was even more encouraging when they had that press conference with the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. I have to say that I was greatly encouraged by that. And I also have to say that I was greatly encouraged last night as I watched the First Lady recite the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer before introducing her husband at a rally in Florida. That was really refreshing and really encouraging. And there might be a bit of a sanctified sarcasm in the way that I say this, but I took great delight in knowing how much it messed up the liberal media. I love how it freaked out the global elitists. And I love how that it goes contrary to everything that they are seeking, namely that of a new world order and a one world government. You might say that they have a problem now with this president and especially the renewed relationship that we have with Israel finally after 8 long years of shameful disgrace of Israel by the previous president. I was so blessed and even impressed with the White House greeting that the Israeli Prime Minister and his wife, Sarah, received. To me, it was the antithesis of what Obama did when Netanyahu came to the White House and he made him enter from a side entrance and then had him wait for hours before they met. The Jerusalem Post of this wrote, "It has been a long time since an Israeli prime minister was received at the White House the way Benjamin Netanyahu was on Wednesday. In 2010, for example, Netanyahu entered the White House through a side entrance for a private meeting with President Barack Obama. There was no press conference, no photo op, and not even a concluding press statement. It was as if the visit didn't even take place. In 2009, Obama was pictured speaking on the phone with Netanyahu with his feet up on the desk. interpreted as a blatant sign of disrespect for the Israeli leader. You have no idea in the Middle Eastern culture what that means. I remember as a kid growing up, we had people come over to our house, and I put my feet up on the ottoman, and my mom screamed at me, "Wahido! Abe! Shame! Take your feet down!" I was like, "Whoa, sorry." So I did. And she told me that the Middle East, in the Middle East, the bottom of the foot is seen as the dirtiest part of your body. And when you put it in someone's face, it is the ultimate sign of disrespect. It is akin to spitting in somebody's face. The Jerusalem Post went on to say, on Wednesday, no one was looking at feet. It was all about the hands, the hugs, the pats on the backs, the kisses on the cheek, and the affection Trump and his wife showered on the Netanyahu's. And to that I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a good start. And it was really the beginning of the stunning news that came from the press conference that ensued. After their opening statements, both President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu fielded questions from reporters, and in so doing made news right out of the chute when Trump first called on David Brody of the Christian Broadcasting Network. Oh my goodness, talk about jamming the gears of the liberal media. Oh, and for those of you who watched his first press conference before Netanyahu came, and he tells CNN, he said, "I'm not going to call you fake news anymore. You're very fake news." And I don't know, there's just something, there's a sanctified something about that that just, maybe it goes back to what we just talked about with the Apostle Paul, not afraid to tell it like it is. Well, of course, the liberal media went crazy. The Christian Broadcasting Network. Well, what do you want them to do? Call on Al Jazeera? Oh, wait a minute. They went out of business in America, so forget that. And, oh, by the way, the first question, it was kind of interesting because Fox News, to their credit, showed the contrast when then President Obama at one of his first press conferences was asked questions like, "How does it feel to be president? Are you kidding me? Do you see yourself as the comeback kid?" Really? Instead of lobbying him a softball, Brody asked him about the Iran nuclear deal and the resignation of Michael Flynn as his national security advisor. I knew it was going to be an interesting press conference from that point on, and it did not disappoint. As it continued, Trump, true to form in his spontaneity, turns to Netanyahu and says, "I'd like to see you hold back on settlements for a little bit. We'll work something out, but I would like to see a deal be made. I think a deal will be made. Bibi and I have known each other a long time. Smart man, great negotiator, and I think we're going to make a deal. It might be bigger and better deal than people in this room even understand." Hang on to that. I want to come back to that. That's a possibility, so let's see what we do. Netanyahu responded with what sounded like either it's going to be hard or we're going to try. He was clearly caught off guard, to which Trump replied, "Doesn't sound too optimistic, but good negotiator." Netanyahu, matching Trump's spontaneous wit, said, "That's the art of the deal," as he chuckled. It then got even more interesting when both leaders were asked about the two-state solution and the promise to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Trump's response was, "I'm looking at a two-state and one-state And I like the one that both parties like. I looked at Netanyahu and his response, and he started, his eyes went, eyebrows raised over his glasses, and he's looking out and kind of laughing a little bit like, whoa, I like this guy. Trump says, I can live with either one. I thought for a while the two-state looked like it may be the easier of the two, but honestly, if Israel and the Palestinians are happy, I'm happy with the one they like best. Trump continued, as far as the embassy moving to Jerusalem, I'd love to see that happen. We're looking at it very, very strongly. We're looking at it with great care, believe me, and we'll see what happens, okay? Netanyahu then chimed in saying, I read yesterday that an American official said, if you ask five people what two states would look like, you'd get eight different answers. Mr. President, if you ask five Israelis, you'll get 12 different answers. Netanyahu continued, but rather than deal with labels, I want to deal with substance. It's something I've hoped to do for years in a world that's absolutely fixated on labels and not on substance. So here's the substance. I want you to listen very carefully to this. There are two prerequisites for peace that I laid out several years ago, and they haven't changed. First, the Palestinians must recognize the Jewish state. What? Do you realize that there's no peace in the Middle East because the so-called Palestinians, my people, refuse to have a state of Israel exist. Again, they don't want peace with Israel or a state with Israel. They want the destruction of Israel. They were handed this prior, and they didn't take it. And so Netanyahu's saying nothing's changed. They have to recognize the Jewish state. They continue to call for Israel's destruction inside their schools, inside their mosques, inside the textbooks. You have to read it to believe it. They even deny our historical connection to our homeland. And I suppose you have to ask yourself, why are Jews called Jews? And I love this about Netanyahu. Well, the Chinese are called Chinese. Why? Because they come from China. Sorry. You got to break it down for some people here, okay? And he does. So he says the Japanese are called Japanese because they come from Japan. Well, Jews are called Jews because they come from Judea. Get it? This is our ancestral homeland. Jews are not foreign colonialists in Judea. Then, after this, what happened next really caught my attention. Trump, of the aforementioned peace deal, said, quote, it's actually a much bigger deal. It would take in many, many countries and would cover a very large territory. Does that sound a little bit like Daniel 9:27? He will force an agreement with many. He then turns to Netanyahu and says, so I didn't know you were going to be mentioning that. In other words, he was caught off guard by that. But now that you did, I think it's a terrific thing. Let me just say, I have never seen a press conference like this, nor do I ever think I will ever see a press conference like this again. And as you might imagine, the media was abuzz concerning this unprecedented press conference. On Thursday, the Haaretz headline read, Trump declines to endorse two-state solution, calls on Netanyahu to hold back on settlements. This Times of Israel article, to me, really captured the media's consternation. They just don't know what to do. The headline read, Netanyahu's betrayal, Trump's one state, two state, rile Israeli press. Let me just quote the Times. It's the Trump and Netanyahu show in the Hebrew papers on Thursday morning after the prime minister and the U.S. president met for the first time since the Donald, kind of disrespectful, took office last month. Well, you have to understand something, by the way. The Israeli press does not like Trump either. And sadly, they're not too fond of Netanyahu either. From Israel Hayom on the right to Haaretz on the left, the commander-in-chief's remarks about the two-state solution are at the top of the docket. And then they say this, interestingly, it might be frigid in Washington and Jerusalem this time of year, but Israeli pundits are churning out enough hot air to make D.C. feel like Florida. And there was also this Times of Israel report on Trump telling Netanyahu to, quote, hold back on construction. The two discussed the issue of Israeli settlement construction, the White House said, and agreed to continue those discussions and to work out an approach that is consistent with the goal of, listen, advancing peace and security. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Trump upended two decades of American foreign policy by not expressing a firm commitment to the two-state solution. Caroline Glick had an interesting take on what appears to be the abandoning of said two-state solution. She writes, the most significant development to come out of the Trump-Netanyahu press conference was their refusal to endorse the two-state policy doctrine. This was a necessary move. The only way to build a working alliance between the U.S. and Israel is for both leaders to abandon the two-state paradigm for policymaking. She goes on to make her case, stating that the two-state formula dooms its adherence to strategic myopia and defeatism while holding their strategic and national interests hostage to the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. I want you to think about this with me. During the seven-year tribulation, it's a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economy. Would that also stand to reason then that it would also be a one-state solution? In other words, that kind of fits. Well, what are you saying? What about Jerusalem? Isn't Jerusalem going to be divided? Oh, surely it will. But it makes more sense that this is the direction it could and should go. And this, by the way, is why I really believe that a Trump presidency, in fact, means that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled even faster than it was before. Things are moving forward very quickly now, at breakneck speed. On Friday, Arut Sheva reported on Fox News' Sean Hannity interview with Netanyahu, in which he made a most interesting statement. Speaking of his meeting with President Trump, Netanyahu said this, I think it was a historical meeting. I'm going to add prophetic meeting. It was a meeting of the minds and a meeting of the hearts. I feel we have now, as the president said, an even stronger alliance, a new day, he called it, maybe a new age. Wow. I actually recorded Hannity's interview with Netanyahu, watched it a couple of times because I was struck with the headline that came out of Fox News. Netanyahu, U.S. Israel have, quote, grand mission to confront Iran threat. And I'll tell you why this is so striking to me. Listen to what Netanyahu told Hannity. Since the signing of the deal, Iran has become more aggressive, more deadly, sponsoring more terrorism with more money, a lot more money. It's dangerous for America, dangerous for Israel, dangerous for the Arabs. What? Everybody now understands it, and there's an American president who understands it, and we're talking about what to do about this common threat. Then Netanyahu goes on to tell Hannity about what he sees as the good that's actually come out of this Iran deal. Namely, that of the new alliances that Israel has with several of their Arab neighbors, like Egypt, Jordan, and especially Saudi Arabia. And here's the thing. Every nation he mentioned is conspicuously absent from the list of nations in Ezekiel 38's prophecy. A prophecy about Russia and Iran with Turkey and an alliance of nations that launch a nuclear attack against Israel. And in verse 13, you have a mention of Sheba and Dedan, which is the ancient name for modern-day Saudi Arabia. And all they do with Tarshish and the young lions thereof is protest. All of a sudden now, that starts to make sense. As I was preparing this and pondering this, the Lord ministered to me concerning something that has sort of been heavy on my heart as of late. This last week, we had a number of YouTube subscribers that were expressing fear, real fear. And some of them asking for prayer because they feel like they're going out of their mind. And for good reason. I mean, we're in a very dangerous place right now. As a nation, and certainly as the world is just about to explode. I mean, there are efforts in place right now funded by a very evil man by the name of George Soros. Did you just name him?
Yeah.
Paid for by this man by the name of George Soros, who hires them to protest, to create division and strife within this nation. And I'll tell you, we're at a very dangerous crossroads, I really believe. I actually prayed yesterday that God would keep Trump safe. Because if he's the real deal, and I don't have any reason to believe he's not, they're going to try to assassinate him. I'm not trying to make any prediction here, but he's got to go. I think they're still in shock that Hillary Clinton wasn't elected president. Completely threw them off their game. Set them back.
Are you ready? If not, you need to be ready because our redemption draws nigh. This is what Jesus said about seeing these prophecies begin to come to pass in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This verse speaks directly to the heart of the prophecy update that Pastor JD shares each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth. The goal for each prophecy update is twofold. First, to equip you with information you need to live in these exciting last days. Second, to encourage you in your faith in the Creator of the universe. Every word in the Holy Bible is 100% true. We're seeing that fact being proven each and every day. We pray that you have been both blessed and challenged by today's prophecy update. And we do hope you join us again for tomorrow's conclusion to this prophecy update from Pastor JD. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, you can become a Facebook friend with us by logging on to www.inspiritandtruthradio.com. We've provided a link to our Facebook page. Another great option to stay current with Pastor JD's prophecy updates is to subscribe to the Aloha Bible Prophecy Update YouTube channel. The Prophecy Update YouTube channel has all the current updates that Pastor JD has shared, as well as an archive of past updates. Again, log on to inspiritandtruthradio.com and follow the link to the Prophecy Update YouTube channel. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please join us tomorrow as Pastor JD concludes this Prophecy Update. That's next time on In Spirit and Truth.